And as I was praying with that passage from the first chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, I noticed that he's giving us kind of an outline or an itinerary for this spiritual life. Now that passage is structured in such a way that it invites us into the life of God. It's like the Creed has a section about the Father, then the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet this is not a profession of faith that Paul's giving us, rather a prayer of thanksgiving to God for all the blessings that he pours forth on us. And within that hymn, it's almost a hymn, there are two phrases that are repeated that kind of give us a very basic indication about what the Christian life is meant to be about. St. Paul repeats the phrase, not only here, but throughout all of his writings, in Christ. Of course, that is the most basic, the central understanding of our spiritual life, is that we're remaining in Christ, is that we are united with him, that all we do in our whole lives are lived in Jesus, who is our Savior. And the second phrase that St. Paul repeats frequently, especially in this passage, is the not what of our spiritual life, but the why. What is the purpose? What is it for? And it is, he says, for the praise of his glory. We live in Christ so that all of our actions, everything we do and think and say, might lend praise and glory to God. Our very selves become, when we live in Christ, a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God. That's kind of the big picture, those two basic points. How are we meant to live and for what? But then he gives us kind of a few points, kind of an outline of how we live and how we enter into that spiritual life. He uses the phrase that we're chosen to be holy. And later he says we're destined for adoption. You see, the spiritual life begins with being chosen by God. It does not begin by a choice that we make. It does not begin by our own initiative. As it says in the scriptures, the Lord says to us, "It is not you who chose me, but I who chose you." That is always the beginning. The origin, the initiative is always God's. We are chosen. And that's the beginning of our spiritual lives. If we start from any other place, we will go astray. And what are we chosen for? We're chosen, St. Paul says, to be holy. Chosen to be holy. And that's one of the central messages that the Second Vatican Council gave us. That we're all called to holiness no matter what our state or condition in life, no matter where we find ourselves, what we're doing, we're called to be holy. What does that mean? It means that we're set apart for God. It means that we are called to enjoy the Lord's blessings and to live as his children. And as St. Paul said, we are destined for that adoption as the children of God. So that's the first point. And without that, we can never understand or progress in our spiritual lives. That it is God's initiative that we are chosen, and we're chosen for a purpose. We're chosen to be set apart for God. Grace always goes before anything that we would do. God's initiative is the cornerstone of our understanding, our relationship with him. But the second point is also just as important. We're chosen not because of some great deed that we've done, but rather we're chosen because we need to be redeemed. So St. Paul says we are redeemed by his blood for the forgiveness of our transgressions. You see, we needed forgiveness, and St. Paul will say that the fact that God chose us nonetheless, the fact that he wants to give us forgiveness, is part of the lavishness of his love for us. He uses that word. How much God loves us shows the lavishness of his grace, because we did not deserve it. And yet he gives us forgiveness and mercy and peace nonetheless. And how does God give us forgiveness? How does he redeem us? By his blood. He doesn't just say you're forgiven. That's the way that we might try to forgive one another. But St. Paul says that the mystery of God's will is revealed. He makes himself known to us by sending his Son into the world to die for our sins. We're redeemed, we're forgiven, not by a pronouncement of God, but by that very act of love by which the Son of God shed his blood for us. Truly, we are redeemed by his blood. So we're chosen to be holy, to be set apart, but not because we deserved it, rather because we needed God's grace, and we are redeemed, not just by God's desire, but by the very blood of Jesus. And then that third step that St. Paul puts before us, he says if we hear the gospel and believe, we will be sealed with the gift of the Spirit. So we're chosen to be holy, we're redeemed by Christ's blood, and we're sealed with the Spirit. And what is the Spirit? He calls it an assurance of the fullness of our salvation. It's a taste of our inheritance, really. What we will one day inherit as adopted children of God, we get a taste of now in this life. We don't experience salvation fully now, and yet when we're sealed with the Spirit, sealed, closed, the deal is done, we belong to God, we have an assurance of that fullness of salvation. And so when we live in the Spirit, when we're sealed with the Spirit, we're able to live with the freedom of the sons of God, as St. Paul would put it. That means we're able to know God's presence, even in the midst of challenges in our life, even when it seems that God is difficult, even when we might feel on the point of despair. If we know that we're sealed with the gift of the Spirit, we have confidence that God is present with us and active among us. So God's lavish gifts just keep getting better and better. Not only did he choose us to be holy, he chose us though we didn't deserve it, and he also wants his very life to dwell within us. He seals us and gives us a taste of our inheritance even here and now. And yet that's not the be-all and end-all of the spiritual life. We see in our gospel that there's another step. There's another great aspect. And that is the aspect of being sent on mission. The apostles, it says, were given authority over unclean spirits. And what does that mean? Well, it means they were given the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God has true authority over unclean spirits. And so that third step is fulfilled in them. They know by their experience with Christ that they've been chosen to be holy, they've been redeemed, and that they're given this gift of God, and so they're sent out on mission. I think we need to be very attentive to the manner in which they are sent, because if we just run out there without understanding how God is with us, we set ourselves up for disappointment. See, it says that they're not sent out on their own as individuals into the world. Rather, they're sent two by two, which means that we're always part of our Christian community. We're sent into the world to bring the message of God's love and peace and mercy, but not under our own strength or power. We lean on God's grace. We lean on one another. And Jesus also commands them to take nothing for the journey. St. Matthew will sum this up by saying, without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. That is what their giving up of their possessions symbolizes, that they trust fully in God, knowing that everything is truly a gift from him. Their simplicity shows that they rely on God alone. And so it is with us. We are to go out into the world, not relying on our own strength, but on God's. And, as another evidence of this, we're meant to use the gifts of the church in our ministry, in our mission. It says that the apostles anointed with oil, and they cured many. Well, is this not a reference to the sacrament of the anointing of the sick? It's not their own authority that cures these people, but the authority of God, who is given to us and entrusted to the church in the sacrament. And so that's why we know we need to remain united to Christ through the gifts that he has entrusted to the church, especially the sacraments, especially our communal prayer. Those are the gifts that help us most in our mission. It's not necessarily the strengths that we feel that we have or what we bring to the table. It's always opening ourselves up to the gifts that God has given to us. Finally, we must know that if we're only pursuing success in a worldly sense, we are also setting ourselves up for disappointment. Jesus, in fact, he doesn't instruct them how to drive out demons or how to cure people. All he instructs them to do is how to deal with those people who reject him. He says, if they do not believe, wipe the dust off your feet in testimony against them and move on. The message is too urgent to cry over spilt milk if they do not want it. Just keep moving on. It's a testament to how important it is that we continue to strive to spread the word. He says it's a total waste of time to lament those who do not believe, because there are so many out there. The harvest is rich and abundant. So many out there who desire the truth. And so go to them. So we may not see success in worldly terms, but we do know that Christ is always with us. He has gifted us with this Spirit, and so we have confidence that he accompanies us in our mission in the world. So, the outline once again. Chosen to be holy, redeemed by the blood of Christ, sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then sent out on mission. All of these things, my friends, are done in Christ, and for the praise of his glory. If we live in Christ, we experience all of these aspects of the spiritual life, and we're able to live every moment for the glory of God. That is the spiritual life. So I encourage you this week perhaps to take up this passage and not read it, but meditate upon it. Pray about it. How am I doing in my spiritual path and my journey? Can this help me take another step or to go back to the basics? We might see that even in the Mass, we experience all of these aspects that St. Paul puts before us. We know that we come apart from the world. We're chosen to be set apart. We're chosen to be holy. And we know that we are redeemed by Christ's blood, and so we celebrate and receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. We know that we are sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just as we pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon the gifts of bread and wine, we pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us as God's adopted children. And finally, we are sent out into the world. At the end of Mass, I say the words, "Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life." When we come here is how we once again immerse our lives in Christ, so that we could live in Christ, and being chosen, redeemed, and sealed with the Spirit, we are sent out so that all of our actions, all of our lives, may be for the praise of his glory.